Welcome back to another episode of the Chats with Clark podcast. I'm your host, Joe Clark, and here at Chats with Clark, we don't do poppy intros. We get straight to the point. And the point today is a very creative soul, a soul who loves fashion, but you don't need me to tell you that. That's why she's here. Matney Yates, welcome to the show. How are you? Thanks for being here.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm doing great. Yeah,
I'm excited to have you. I'm excited to hear your story. If you're not watching, I have to tell you that Matney has this fantastic microphone cover, and it looks like a cloud kind of mixed with an ice cream cone, maybe, but fluffy. So that's my description for it. If you can't picture it, head to the YouTube and check it out. But Matney, microphone aside, give us a little bit of background on who you are, kind of what you're up to. How about a little bit of an introduction?
Yeah, of course. So I actually grew up in a super small town outside of Columbus. It's about an hour from like downtown Columbus, if you're familiar with the area. I think my town has like, I don't know, maybe like 5,000 people. Maybe that's like pushing it. Like, I don't know. I graduated with like 120. So super small farm community. And when I was in high school, in my senior year, I got super into fashion. I actually like applied for this like random scholarship to like potentially get money for school or something, where I like did a whole collection. And I like had no idea about like fashion at that point. I was just basically looking on Pinterest and seeing what like fashion sketches looked like. I didn't really understand like what the trajectory of fashion looked like. I think one day I just like woke up and I was like, you know what? I'm like going to go to college and I'm going to study fashion design. And I went to Kent State because, like I said, I grew up in a very small town and I was very indifferent about like the city because that was like so not normal. So I was like, yep, I'm going to Kent State. It's a done deal. Like tuition is the best cost, like for the options of fashion schools, because as you know, you could go to like LA and do a school there, which obviously LA is so expensive, or you could go to New York and live there and go to any of their amazing schools, or you could go to like a smaller school, maybe like SCAD or something. It's like a very well-known school, but yeah. So ultimately I was from Ohio. Kent State was here. I was like, I'm going there. Once I graduate, really knew nothing about fashion. I was just like, this is what I'm doing. So I end up going to Kent State. I started studying fashion. Fun fact, I actually, my freshman year, I almost switched out of fashion design.
No way.
Went to Ohio State to study supply chain. Yeah. Cause I was like having, like, I was like, I don't know if I can do this. Like the classes are super hard. Like one of my professors, like my, a lot of my professors were great. And I even loved this one cause I love tough love. And this one professor, like, she was like, yeah, Matney, like you got to figure out these drawings. Like she was so tough on me because you have to like actually draw in fashion school, though. That's not what they do in the industry. So if you're in fashion school now and you're listening, don't take it to heart, because at the end of the day, if your portfolio is good enough and you can get a job, you're probably not sketching in the industry. I don't, I mean, maybe if you get super high up, but don't make that your biggest priority. So yeah, I went to Kent State. I was like super involved on campus. I loved my experience at Kent. It was so great. I loved the fashion school. I loved long nights. I actually studied abroad in New York and Italy. Another fun fact, I was actually in Italy when the pandemic started. So I was in Italy while the pandemic was starting. And we had no idea what was happening over in the US. But there were cases starting in Italy. So we were actually supposed to go to Milan that weekend. Didn't end up happening because of the pandemic coming to town. But yeah, so hopefully I'll be back to like finish my excursion in 2024. Fingers crossed, because my mom was supposed to visit and she didn't get to.
Oh man.
Yeah, I know. So I think we're going to try and go back in 2024.
Good. Yeah, you guys should.
We can go together, because I didn't really actually see a lot of Italy. I know that's crazy to say, because I went everywhere else, because I was saving Italy for the tail end of the trip when it would get warmer there. But yeah, so I did that. And then I graduated in 2021. And then I got my first job and moved to New York City. And then, yeah, a lot has happened since that very first job, that graduation. Let me backtrack just for a second. I do have like a small business that we'll talk about at some point. And I actually started that during COVID and in college. So before graduation, actually, and I did like pitch competitions, which was super cool during my time at Kent. And then, yeah, like I said, moved to New York. And then now we're actually, plot twist, in Columbus, Ohio. So yeah, that's kind of full circle. A bit about me. Like obsessed with yoga right now. I love like thrifting. I'm obsessed with podcasts. As I've shared with Joe, like my obsession, they're so great. But yeah, so kind of dabble in a lot of different things, but I currently work at Express and on the production team for the outlet, and I work on the suits and shirts. So yeah, super cool.
That is super cool. That's a great introduction. Thank you. And I love that you give an overview that touches on everything and let the stories for later. That was awesome. So thank you.
Of course.
Matt, I have a really off the cuff question. What does your name actually mean? So what does Matney mean? And is it like a family name? Like, I feel like there has to be a story behind it.
There's absolutely no story behind it. I'm asked this all the time. Like, so many people are like, I've never met another Matney. And I'm like, me neither. Like, me neither. But yeah, there's really no story behind it. My dad like just came up with it because my parents actually didn't find out if I was going to be a boy or a girl. Like, so like, I was like a true surprise. So yeah, my dad just like thought of it. I have no idea how. I've asked him multiple times, like to give me a reason. He's like, I don't know. I'm like, how do you not know? Yeah. Like, this is like bonkers. Like, how do you not know? Like, no one else has named this, but yeah, I really love my name because no one has it and it's very unique. And usually like people will actually remember your name if they are like, remember your name, they're usually going to remember it because they've never heard it before.
Absolutely. Yeah. Were you going to be math too if you were a guy?
I don't know, because I don't know. My parents, the only thing. Like, I didn't really like close. Think about it. But yeah. My husband's name is Matthew. So I was like, is this like a play on like Matt and Brittany? Like, what is it? Like, but
yeah. Oh yeah, fair enough. Okay, so I want to dial you back again. I was hoping for a story. I didn't get one, so that's okay. But I'm just playing. Back in high school, you mentioned that you, from a small town, that you had come across this love for fashion. How does that happen in seemingly in a small town with maybe minimal outreach? Like, you're not interacting with a bunch of people as if you were in the big city and you could see a bunch of different fashion. So what was kind of the light bulb moment for you that really drew you to, hey, I love fashion. I'm interested in this and I could see myself doing this.
So I think a big thing is we can go back all the way to elementary school. I remember that I like was just not that great at like reading or math. Like, that was never my forte. So I kind of knew that I was going to do something that was going to be more creative by the time I was in high school. Like, I knew that I wasn't going to go be a doctor. Like, that just wasn't up my alley. It wasn't what I was naturally gifted at. Like, I know a bunch of like random stuff, but like that memorization, like that would have been a lot of work for me to do when something else would come more naturally, I guess.
Got it.
So kind of like from that perspective, I knew that I wanted to do something there. And then my mom actually has worked in like prints. And like when I was in high school, she worked for Bath and Body Works, so L Brands. So I kind of like got to see that side of it, because if you don't know, Columbus is actually a huge hub for fashion. We have Lane Bryant, which is like a plus size women's wear brand. We have Victoria's Secret, Express, obviously. I don't know what else. I can't think of any others like right.
Yeah, those are three big ones.
But we have like a bunch of like big fashion brands here at Columbus. So I feel like my mom working for Bath and Body Works kind of gave me that exposure as well, to see like, oh, there's actually like a job behind the clothes you wear, and kind of like helped me see that that was like actually a thing. Because like, I also knew I wasn't going to be an artist. Like, I wasn't this like mastermind, like throwing these beautiful paintings like up on paper. So that's kind of how I think that I landed that. But also coming back to the fact that I'm from a small town, I remember being like younger, like in seventh grade or something, and it was my favorite thing, because our town was so small. Like, I'm not kidding. Like, we had two gas stations. We had like a little convenience store that I don't even know that if it's in business anymore. Mm-hmm. Like a Dollar General, like a little hometown, like
always like a Dollar General. Baby,
like a very small town, like downtown little area, like a bank, like I don't know. But it was my favorite thing ever to like walk downtown and like have that freedom of like not having to have my parents drive me somewhere, but like I could be somewhere. And I really think that that's where I like became obsessed with like the city and like being in the city, even though I didn't grow up from it. I don't know. I think it was just something in my head that like clicked. Mm-hmm. So full circle, I think that my mom doing what she did, me realizing my strengths and talents and like where I could actually execute, and then kind of seeing the lifestyle that I want is what kind of drug me in the direction of fashion, even though not that's really probably, I don't think that really anyone else that I graduated, there might be a few people that I know, but I don't think really anyone went into like fashion necessarily.
Sure, sure. And so you had no real exposure to your industry until you went to college then. I mean, I know your mom and that aspect of it, but like you personally didn't have your hands on it until fashion school.
Actually, that question actually just sparked something. There's another brand in Columbus and it's called 31 Gifts. Okay. I was so blessed to be able to do this. How could I forget about this experience? It was so incredible. When I was a senior in high school, actually, my junior year going into my senior year, my dad actually knew a guy because my dad, in his main part of his career, he did carpentry work for like super expensive houses. And one of the houses that he worked on was the CEO of this or the CFO or something of 31 Gifts, which I don't know if you know what it is, but it's basically like those bags that they would like personalize. You definitely have probably seen them, but they would do a lot of parties and stuff probably when I was like back in like eighth grade or something. And then like, they continue to happen. But my dad was working for this guy and like, was like, yeah, my daughter's like into fashion. She thinks she's going to go to fashion school. And he's like, well, have her give me a call. I was working at Wendy's at the time, mind you. So he's like, my first job was Wendy's. I love asking people their first job because I think it's so funny that mine was Wendy's. Like, I love it.
That's a great one.
First job.
I was working a maintenance job.
Got it.
It was perfect.
Yeah.
Got to be outside. I love
hearing people's first jobs. Like, where'd you work? Did you work at McDonald's? I worked at Wendy's. Like, it's like funny, but I'll got to start somewhere. Yeah.
The roots. Exactly.
So I was working at Wendy's. My dad like tells me that he's like talked to this guy and tells me to give him a call. So I give him a call and like, I end up like getting the internship. So basically, I wasn't really doing a lot of my internship looking back now because I couldn't really do anything. But the people were the best ever there. Like, they were incredible. So obviously, like I said, I was in high school. I didn't really know a lot. And I interned on the technical design team. So I worked with the tech design team. So if you don't know in fashion, you usually have a design team and then you'll have a technical design team. So the design team's like, oh, we're going to make this top. And the technical design team executes. So they're like, okay, if you want this top, we're going to have to do like this size armhole opening, this size bottom opening. And then the technical design team works with the factory to figure out how they're going to do that. And usually it's called a vendor. But the production team is on the other side of this with the technical design team, like working on the cost of the garment and like how we're going to get it there. So actually, I like got to kind of see what I was going to do now way back then. So the technical design team would work with the production team that now makes so much sense to me. But at the time I had no idea what production was. And so now knowing that, that's what I literally do. So I guess looking back, I actually did have a very much insight of what I would end up doing. And this is just coming full circle to me again, because I had forgot that I had done all of that when I was literally a senior in high school. So that's also probably a big part of the reason that I knew that that's what I was going to end up doing.
100%. I mean, it's anytime you get that exposure. And of course, when we're in high school, things like are heightened, and to be working an internship is to kind of feel like you know, you got your big boots on and that kind of thing. You were in the industry, you're ready to roll. So that's really incredible. Do you remember like any particular instance where you got to do something in that internship that made you really love it or like feel excited about it? You know what I mean?
There were so many great experiences. Like I would get to sit in on the meetings, like that they would do high level, picking the line, which now I know what that is in like my world, like looking back. I remember the vendors came to town and we looked at the patterns and like, they were like, okay, this is what we have to do to like execute to make it this. They let me play in Adobe Illustrator, which in high school, I had no idea what that was. So I got like an insight into that. I remember it was a huge aha moment when I was working there and they gave me a tour of the warehouse and I saw how much product and it was just like, oh my God, like it was just mind boggling.
How big is it? I mean, give us a, I've never been in a warehouse for a store for clothes. Well,
I don't know how to like explain this because it is very large here, like in Ohio, like the warehouses are here, but to put in perspective for you, like factories can be like acres big.
My God.
Like giant, like honestly, probably some of the warehouses here, I don't really know exactly how big an acre is, but like houses could fit inside of these warehouses that are just here in Columbus. So to put in perspective for you, like what's going on, like at a factory or a mill where they're making the actual fabric, it's like crazy. Like it's
huge. Wow. That's incredible.
It's insane. But that I remember was like a huge like point that I was like, oh my gosh, like this is wild. But yeah.
No, for sure. Then you kind of get like a sense of how grand this whole ordeal and this whole project really is.
Mm-hmm. And then if you remember, like I said, I lived in a small town, which was about 40 minutes from Columbus. So like, I remember like me going to my first day of work was like a huge deal because I was driving from there all the way into, like, downtown by myself at like, I'm like young for my grade. So I think I was like very late 16, early 17. And like, that was like a big deal for my parents to let me drive that far. So I would do that. So yeah, it was like a super cool experience to know that I was getting to do that. And then that I kind of actually got to see a glance into what my future would be later on in life.
And then you go to school and before you get to this future, you start studying all the skills. You're in college, you're at Kent, you're doing all these things, and this internship is becoming almost like the groundwork, I would imagine, for what you fulfilled through college. Mm-hmm. Did you feel like the studying prepared you for the industry?
Honestly, I think it's hard to say yes and no, because I think there's things that translate and I think there's things that not. So I was a true design student. Like I made garments. I literally sewed them. So I like kind of know how they're very much constructed. I made tech packs and made flat sketches. I made actual like design sketches. And something about that is like, I feel like what we did in college was a lot more creative than what you're actually going to do in the industry. Yes, you will like eventually get there, like as you like get better at your job and like move up the ladder essentially. Yes, you might be able to get to that creative ability, but like it's a lot of the actual industry is a lot more like mood boards and stuff like that rather than actually being super, super, super creative like you would do in design school, like creating a line from scratch. But I also can't completely say, because every company's different. Like this is just my raw experience. Like the places I've worked, it's a lot more like mood boards and like looking at things that way. And I don't even, in my current role now, I don't even work in design there. So I can't even say like exactly what we do in design, but from like experience that I had, it's not as creative. And from what a lot of my friends are saying, it's not as creative. I do think it did prepare me though, from the sense that like my job now, I feel like I do have a great background on actual clothing and like how it comes to be, because I literally sew it. Like I work on suit jackets now and I literally had to construct one my freshman year. Like I made my own freshman year. And I think that also makes me like very respectful of the vendors and like understanding how hard it is to actually make a garment. So like fast fashion though, sometimes like I do buy stuff from Express, Abercrombie, like yada, yada, yada. I do understand that, like, it's not a throwaway piece. Like, when I, like, mm-hmm. invest in something and buy something, like, that's not a throwaway piece to me. Like, I want to keep that for a long time. And these brands are less fast fashion than if you look at, like, a Shein or, like, something like that, you know?
Oh, for sure.
But it's, like, I really value, like, the product that we have. And I understand the time and intensity that it takes to make it.
That's awesome. Yeah, that's really full circle, really. And what are, like, the other aspects of the fashion that you could study? Because I haven't, to be honest with you, I've only heard of fashion design and am unfamiliar with the rest.
Yeah.
Are there other areas that you can go to school for?
Mm-hmm. Particularly? So the other side at Kent would be you would go for fashion merchandising. So in merchandising, you would truly study the business behind fashion. So you would understand, like, retail math and, like, what that looks like, and basically how to run the numbers to truly run a business. So that's really the difference between the two, is, like, merchandising is not half as creative. Like, they aren't set up sewing garments. Like, you're not doing that. You might do one little project your freshman year, but, like, that's not something that's going to be a thing that you're going to continue seasons. Like, you know what I mean? It's not going to continue to happen.
So, Manny, your work in production really is that middle ground.
Yeah, it really is. And I really love it because the numbers are actually so interesting. Like, I love, like, digging into them. Like, and it's crazy for me to say, because as I said, like, when I was younger, like, I was like, I'm not that good at math. But when you understand why you're doing the math and the math makes sense and the math is getting to a common goal, it's, like, super cool to see those numbers and to, like, run that report and, like, see what you're tracking to. So, yeah.
Yeah, that's really cool. And so you get all this practice sewing and you get all this practice making garments and you turn yourself into a little entrepreneur and start your own business, Matney. You said what in your junior year?
I started it in my junior year, between the summer of my junior and senior year. Yeah. But actually there was something that came before this.
Okay.
My freshman year, I, like, was like, you know what? Like, this isn't that hard. Like, I learned how to sew for, like, I've been sewing for 1 year. I'm like, I'm going to do a collection. Like, it's going to happen. And I remember, like, telling my, like, one of my classmates about it. And he's like, you're crazy. Like, do you understand, like, what you want to do? And I'm like, yeah, it's going to be fine. I'm not even worried. Like, and then I start doing this stuff. So between my freshman and sophomore year of college, I started this, like, business called Matney's Originals or something. And I created, like, tube tops and, like, matching sets and yada, 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 just, like, all this crazy stuff, really with the intention that I was learning how to be good at sewing, like, just learning the skill, learning the trade. So I did that.
That's so cool.
Yeah. It was super fun. They were, like, super, like, crazy out there prints, like, looking back and, like, you could have toned it, like, it could have been done a lot differently, but it was fun. It was summer. It was, like, whatever. Like, I don't know.
You were learning.
Yeah, exactly. I really did it for the purpose to learn. Like, I did not make a single dollar. Like, everything was just like, I'm gonna spend a million hours on this because I want to learn how to do it. Like, I didn't lose money on the fabric. Great. Like, that's what it was. So then, yes, fast forward to my junior year, I, like, was in New York, I studied abroad. And then it's the pandemic. When I was in Italy, actually, I kind of left knowing that my grandma was going to pass away. It was, like, super sad and unfortunate. She was very, very sick. I was lucky enough to have her pick me up at the end of my study abroad and, like, drive home with us from New York. And I think I look back on that moment now and it actually reminds me, like, seriously, the littlest things are the most important. Don't take advantage of those, like, super little things that you have, like, with your grandparents, your parents. Like, those moments can be so special, like, literally riding on a car with them back home. Like, it's such, like, an amazing experience.
That's so good.
Especially when you're, like, close with them. Like, but that was, like, really a great moment because basically she picked me up from New York and then we were driving back to Ohio, like, where I'm from, for the holidays, I actually interviewed for the like Express, and I didn't get the job the first time. Like, this was for an internship back in the day, but like she drove me with me to that interview. I didn't end up getting, it was like pandemic stuff, so I was like, whatever. But yeah, she like drove with me. So she literally like knows like where I work now. So like I really soaked up that like time in between New York and Italy with her, because she like 100% was like, you're going. Like, she never got to go, and she was supposed to come visit, but unfortunately she got sick, and then the pandemic ended up happening, obviously. But basically I was very close to my grandmother, and then she ended up passing away while I was in Italy. And that was like so hard to know that I was going to like be missing the funeral, and all of that stuff. But like, it was like a conversation for sure my family had before I went. Like, it wasn't an option. Like, I was taking this experience and I'm doing it, and this is what I'm doing. And like, it wasn't, and like, there was nothing about it that like was a question that I wasn't going. Like, some families aren't like that. Some families are like, no, like, you need to come home. Like, you need to not do that. But my grandma, who had already lived this beautiful life, like, that was her perspective. Like, you're going to go and experience this and have this experience.
Cool. So cool.
Yeah, she's like the last person I said goodbye to, and then went on the trip. And then in February is when she had passed away. And then, like I said, I was in Italy when COVID started, and we ended up going home early, and my school was like, no, like the school was like, yes, you need to come home. But the actual in Italy, they were like, not like you need to come home. They were like, everything's going to be fine. It's the flu. And it didn't end up being that. But like, as you can expect, I was like, kind of just not in the best headspace after that loss, and like knowing that we could potentially be quarantining in Italy. I had made the decision, because one of my roommates, she also made the decision to go home. And then literally on my flight home, they told everyone they're going home. So I didn't feel as bad about my decision at first. For I was sure. like, I'm leaving. This is so sad. But then I went home and then quarantined in Ohio with my family. And I finished all my design work there. Like, I literally made these massive mood boards on my walls to finish up the semester at home, like would draw daily. Like, everyone's like, I'm so bored. I'm like, I'm absolutely not. You should see what I have to do. Like, crazy amount of stuff. Like, actually, since I have this right here, I like had to make a jacket, like a suit jacket, like I said, I do now, but I had to make a jacket during the pandemic, and I made it to fit my mom. And like, this is the jacket. So she did a Storyworth.
Oh my gosh, how cool.
If you don't know what Storyworth is, I so recommend it. I was completely sold on a podcast talking about it, but basically it's like, I got it for my mom for Mother's Day. Then she like was prompted every single week to like write some sort of story. And then she wrote a story, and then it comes out as a full book after all the prompts are done. And she's wrote
that's incredible.
And then she gave it to me and my brother for Christmas.
Oh my God. Story worth everybody. Yeah. You can do an ad for that. That's amazing. What a cool product.
It's incredible. Yeah. Anyways, so yeah, I was like doing this all from home, and then like semester ended, like I had no more projects that I needed to be working on at home. So then my mom, so after my grandmother passed away, my uncle and my mom and her sister, they all went and like cleaned out her closet, because obviously like it has to be done at some point, and it was during the pandemic. So my uncle was like, let's not get rid of the jeans. Let's keep them. Maybe like Matty wants to make something out of them. Like no idea like what I'm going to make out of them. And I don't know if it's because my grandma used to actually make us like tote bags out of jeans. Like it would be like the butt pockets of the jeans and then the front fly. And then like,
oh, awesome.
Yeah. It's like she used to sew and stuff. So like, even when I was working on that originals collection that I was talking about, she used to like help me. Like I would come and like destroy the house. Like pins would be everywhere. Like it would be crazy. And me and my grandma like work on this collection.
What a solid memory that is. Wow.
Yeah. It was so great. Like I loved every second of that. Like we literally worked on the collection together. Like she'd be like, Manny, maybe you should do like this. Like, so it was great.
Those jeans, right? Yeah. It's amazing. Yeah. That's like right in your bloodline.
Yeah. So
jeans with a G. Yeah.
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 Yeah. So from there, we had the jeans. We didn't know we were going to do them. My cousin was graduating from high school. And my mom is like, what if you make her a jacket out of all of your grandma's old jeans? And I'm like, I can try. Like, I don't know what's going to happen. Mm-hmm. I can try. So then I did it. And then it like turned out super cool. It was like such a great like gift to give. Like, she literally cried. She was so excited about it. And yeah, so that was like a great thing. So that's when I created the first jacket I created out of my grandma's jeans for my cousin, with this whole story of like wrapping her in my grandma's love again. Like, the inside so pack literally said wrapped in Barbie's love. So that's where it started, because we called her Barbie. Like,
got it.
Her name was Barbara, and like, I was the first grandkid and I loved Barbie. So that like became her name. Like, she was never grandma. Like, it was never grandma.
Yeah. No, it's a cute name. It's such a cute name.
But yeah, so yeah, that's basically like the story of all of that and like kind of how it came to be.
And so what did you put on the jacket? So was it just the denim and the different patches, or was there, did you like sew, I don't know, like a flag on there or anything like that, or what?
You know, I mean, you could so do that. Like, I actually did a custom order for somebody and she wanted to incorporate like her dad's favorite t-shirts into it. So like, I like incorporated the t-shirts into it, and that's actually super cool how I like ended up doing that. So fast forward, I moved to New York. I ended up pitching this like idea, this business is an idea. It was never supposed to be like something that I was going to turn into this business, but then I wanted to participate in this pitch competition for the Entrepreneur Center. And I was like, you know what? This is actually like, could be a super like meaningful gift to get people. Like, how much do you spend on flowers at a funeral? Like, what if like people like ganged up together and like bought somebody this gift, or like bought this card, and like, this is what it was. So I ended up pitching it, working on that. And then when I moved to New York, I actually started doing production in New York, which was crazy. So basically I was in my studio apartment. I would cut out all the jeans and then I would take them to the garment district, and the people, like the workers in the garment district, literally sewed them for me.
Oh my God.
It was a wild. And then I would take it to the buttonhole place. And unfortunately I can't do that right now since I'm not living in New York, but that was a huge luxury of living in New York. But yeah, it was so nice. They did such amazing work. Like, they're so great. But yeah, they're really just like sample making rooms. And for anyone who like lives in New York, and if you were like interested in like starting your own business and curious about that, yeah, just look up sample rooms and things will come up, and you'll be able to like go in, and it'll be in some random building in the garment district, and you'll like go up to there, and then there'll be like tons of sewing going on, tons of fabric everywhere. But yeah, it's a super cool environment to like see and be in, especially if you're into fashion.
Yeah. So you called it what, the collective capsule? Yeah.
The capsule collective. Yeah.
The capsule collective. Okay. Yeah. When did you name it? And was this for the pitch? And how did the pitch go? Like, how to tie us in with that pitch a little bit?
So I didn't initially know what I was going to name it. Like, I didn't like make the jacket, the first one back during COVID, being like, this is going to be what this is going to be. But after like working on it, there's like so many great resources in Kent. But after working on it with some people and like thinking about it, I named it the Capsule Collective because I didn't know what I wanted it to eventually turn into, but I did know that I wanted it to be a like time capsule of like, I didn't want it to be like a temporary fashion piece. And I'm actually working on right now, like revamping things. I want to add vintage into the mix because not everyone wants a denim jacket, and not everyone like thinks to do it in that way. Like, you know what I mean? So I really want to like figure out how to like work on the business and like grow it essentially. So, from the get-go, I had that in mind, and the capsule portion is basically like a capsule wardrobe. Like, that's part of it. And like timeless, like a time capsule essentially. Like,
sure.
But yeah. And then a collective, like of all the things, and like for the jacket specifically, if I can talk, that is like a capsule collect. Like, you're taking like all of these things and piecing it together. But yeah, there was like a lot of thought that went into the name and like back and forth.
No, it's a clever name. I really like it. And I think you embody what you talk about, right? Like, you talk about the fashion, you talk about the sustainability, you talk about the actual collection of it, the cohesion of all those entities. Do people send you their jeans? Like, do people send you what they want you to use?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's,
okay.
That's really cool about it. And that's what I love about it so much. Like, basically, like, whoever's like purchasing a jacket, like, they would just send me like a box of the jeans, and then I piece them together and like make the jacket.
Cool.
So yeah.
That's a good, yeah, that makes sense. And then do they give you like the story? Is there, does that play any role in it?
I don't always like know about like the life of the person's like jacket that I'm making, but like I'll know that this is like the jeans of somebody's grandfather or someone's dad or someone's grandma or someone's stepdad. Like, those are just like scenarios already, but like I know the story of it. I think like the more local the order, the more I'll know about the person. Like, for example, the one that I made of someone who was local, like, she added in his favorite t-shirt. So I got to hear that story because like, I got to actually go and meet her and talk to her, which is like, so great. Like, so great to see people's reactions, like actually on their face when they're like getting something like that.
Yeah. I couldn't even imagine. Right.
Yeah.
That's so awesome. And you can make any size and just do all the logistics. All that's good.
Yeah.
And where do you sell them, Matney?
I sell them online right now. Currently my website is under revamp because like I said, I'm adding like vintage to the collection. So I'm working on that, but it will be capsulecollective.com, the capsulecollective.com. But it's about to be up and running again. So by the time this comes out, there will be a link. The link will be live and it'll be the capsulecollective.com.
Congratulations. Very cool. So everyone, while we're talking, check out the capsulecollective.com. Get your jacket, right? We got to send you a box of jeans.
Yeah. Yes, of course. 100%. I do have, if you want to just do your own custom order, I can do that. But I think it's really special because I don't also look at it as a perspective that like it needs to be of someone who like has like passed. I do think that's a really cool way to celebrate their life and like wrap you in their love and celebrate them. But like, I also think like it would be cool, like, if like your husband's jeans, like take all of them and like make the jacket, you know what I mean?
Yeah, right.
Like, they're always with you and then you have that forever and it means something. Or like your dad's jeans while he's still like with you, like if he's not wearing them anymore, or maybe it's like just a mumble jumble of all the jeans that aren't being used in your family anymore. Mm-hmm. You know, like, I don't think that it's like, it has to be some certain type of way, you know?
Yeah. That's so cool. I think it'd be fun to see like all of them mixed and matched. And so when I met Matney, we were actually at a party at Kent and we were talking, you had on a jacket. Do you remember that?
Yeah. I wore that thing all the time. I was like, this is free marketing. I'm wearing it all the time.
That was free marketing. And I remember specifically asking you about it. And I was like, what's the deal with the jacket? Cause again, it's patchy and it had different colors to it.
Mm-hmm.
And you could tell that it was not something that had, that it was a one of one. You could tell that it was a one of one. I remember asking, I'm like, all right, so what's up? And you like gave me this rundown and it was like the coolest story ever. And I knew at that point, I'm like, we're 100% going to revisit this conversation. So I'm glad that a couple of years later, here we are having this conversation about the Capsule Collective and your jackets.
Yeah, that's the story.
It is. That's amazing. They're awesome. And I think what another like just stupid point, but jean jackets are staples too.
Oh, wow.
Are not going anywhere. And I mean, well, you're the fashion guru, but they're not going anywhere. These are staples. They're timeless.
Mm-hmm.
In their own right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think something else that I should call out, fit is very important to me. And it's something that I'm like continuing to work on, like continuing to be like, you know what, this armhole is like maybe too low. Like maybe it needs to be fit, like fixed and like pulled up. Like, so I'm continually like looking at my patterns and like how to evolve them. But that was something that was very nice about having the garment district in my backyard, because they were the experts and they would really like execute so well. So super cool.
It's taking you back to your sewing days, your learning and remembering all that you learned.
Yeah.
Instead of doing your numbers, you were sewing holes and making things fit properly.
Yeah. And I honestly get so creative when I start to sew. Like, it like reminds me like, oh, like this is actually so much fun to like get creative and like look at things differently. And like, that's kind of what I'm going to start doing with my thrifting too. Like, I got super inspired because I get to look at women's wear daily every day. Like, it is, I'm so thankful I get to do that at my job, like my day-to-day job. Like they send out the Women's Wear Daily, and that is like something that's like very expensive, I'm pretty sure, to be subscribed to. But every day I can scroll through the new issue of it and look at it. And a trend that I'm seeing right now is like trench coats with like super cool like designs on them. Okay. And so I know it's so random, but I've like thrifted some trench coats, and that's actually something that I'm going to be like launching with the new vintage stuff. Nice. With like, okay, so like all the tattoos that I'm too afraid to get because I have commitment issues, I'm like doodling all over these trench coats, like cool tigers and like Queen of Hearts and like super like fun doodles and stuff like that. But
yeah,
I think that once you're like in with the product and like you're seeing like what you want to create, like your juices really get flowing. Like it's so fun.
Mm-hmm. Are you going to wear one?
Oh my gosh, 100%. I actually just made one, but I'm not vibing with it right now because I don't know. I was having like a beach vibe on the bottom, and then I was having like the tattoo vibe that I want to go for at the top, like the biker vibe. So
is it just not meshing?
It's not meshing. It's not meshing. So I think that's just going to turn into a big old doodle thing where I practice before I doodle. So yeah, but it's super fun.
So are you just drawing on them with Sharpies or what?
I don't have any right here. They're over there, but they're fabric markers. Like, so if you want it would like stay on and be fine. But yeah, they make like specific like fabric markers for stuff like this.
Got it. And that'll stay. Yeah. And you can make it so that these trench coats will have these designs on them and you could add them. Okay. I love it. And what's caused you to want to shift to this vintage style, or at least add it, not shift, but add it to your repertoire?
I think it's because thrifting is not easy. I went to Goodwill the other day because I wanted to add to my vintage collection that I'm like about to do or whatever. And I went, I didn't find one thing. It's like so disappointing to go to the thrift store and not find one thing. You're like, you're kidding me. But I went to a thrift store like on President's Day. I literally spent a lot, actually. I spent $50 at Goodwill. Like that's like a lot at Goodwill. But I like filled up that cart. Like I was getting so many things. Like it's just like hit or miss. And I think that's something about thrifting that might be why people stray away from it and shopping circular instead of just like going, it's like, I am guilty. I am such a shopper. Like I see a sale, I'm like, I'm buying, like it's done. It's in my pocket. And honestly, it's still too much. So that's why I don't stick to my budget, because I spend like $120 on a blazer when I could go to Goodwill and be patient and maybe not find one today, maybe not find one tomorrow, but like eventually be able to find something. So I think like a big part of it is like making it easier for like you to buy thrifted stuff and not having to spend that time of looking for it and finding on trend thrifted things. So I think that's kind of why I'm like adding it to the mix, because I like thrifting. I like some of the things I want to make just like a little bit cooler, like maybe add some like cinching or like some, like I might do some like things like that to them. I'm going to like not all of them, but like some of them.
Spruce them up a little bit.
Yeah, for sure.
That's cool. And so can you take any contemporary stuff and make it vintage?
Like,
can it be embodied? So
kind of how it works is like vintage would be like old, like
vintage, right?
Like how do I like say, like if I saw like an H&M sweater, I'm probably not gonna buy it just because I know that it's like not like really like vintage, because like the thing about vintage is it's like very like, how do I even explain it, like it's made different. It's literally made different, you know? So
yeah, I mean, like I know what it is, but I was curious if you could embody. Yeah, so like you're answering the question, because if you're not taking it,
referring to is upcycled. So like I go to the store, I thrift this, like I do thrift the H&M blazer or H&M whatever, but then I like give it a twist and make it unique. And it's no longer just that H&M blazer anymore. Now it's like an upcycled, unique, one of a kind piece.
Okay.
So I think that's like the difference between vintage. Like vintage isn't necessarily, I guess there could be vintage H&M. I might not, like, I shouldn't call it the brand. But like,
there's, I get what you're saying, though.
What it is. And then there's also upcycling. So like, sure. I'm kind of talking about it, honestly.
Very cool. You're going to have like a whole online set of clothing then, essentially, by adding this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's a whole other arsenal. Yeah.
And then I also do sweatshirts because I wanted to do another lower price point because the jackets aren't cheap. It takes a lot of time to make them. So that's why they cost what they cost, because it actually takes me probably, realistically, I like to tell myself it's only going to take me 8 hours. Realistically, it probably takes me 16, but I just love the project and I love doing it for the purpose that I'm doing it. So I pretend it's only, it's only going to take me 8 hours, but it's definitely not. Yeah. And then I do the sweatshirts because, like I said, I want a lower price point, and I do like a super cool, like patchwork design on the back. And then it's just like a regular sweatshirt. And then like, it has like a logo of like the Capsule Collective, but yeah.
Yeah. That's incredible. I'm excited for you. I'm really excited to check out the Capsule Collective site when it comes out and to see the cool pieces that you have going for it. Do you have like any social media specifically for that?
Yeah. My Instagram, I believe it's the Capsule Collective. Let me take a look here. I can't think of it. Yep. It's the Capsule Collective. I like my logo. You can kind of see everything here. Looks like that. It's if awesome. You're watching online, but these are the, are you kidding? I thought that it's only a reel. It's only a reel. I like making reels, but like here you can see, like I did a Cyber Monday deal, and like, you can see the sweatshirt in the back. Like that's the back of the sweatshirt. Actually,
so cool.
One of the girls was so great that bought one recently and she posted it. Here it is.
Do you get a lot of sales from people just outside?
Wow. Well, I really like doing like markets and stuff. Like that's what's really cool. And like meeting people at those. I only did my first one back in November, but I signed up to do one locally in Columbus, and I really hope that like they accept me to be able to do it. Mm-hmm. And then I'll be doing it like every Saturday. But a lot of my sales, I feel like, are word of mouth. Either people who know me.
Yeah, that's how it goes.
A lot of word of mouth.
That's so great, Manny. Okay, so the Capsule Collective, which is getting its revamp, is seeming like it's ready to take off. Like you had the groundwork for it. And something that we had touched on, but haven't really dove into yet is your move to New York and the influence that New York played. You were there for an internship and of course, Italy. And then you moved to New York. You took a job after graduation in New York. Tell us about that. Tell us about the influence. Give us a little bit of the quick turnaround because you're back in Columbus now. Mm-hmm. So give us a little bit of that part of the story. Fill in those gaps for us.
So I moved to New York in August of 2021 and I took this job. It was like the first job that I got when I was interviewing. Well, it wasn't the first. The first one I got, they were going to pay me like $15 an hour and I had to move and I would have had to get my partner. I'm like, this isn't going to work. I was like, this just is not going to work. Like I can't afford to do that. Like, but anyways, so it was like one of the first jobs that I got when I was like interviewing and it was with The Real Real and basically it was the coolest thing ever. Like actually it's a dream when I think about it. I'm like, this like was actually so cool. I just knew that it wasn't going to be long-term sustainable. So that's the reason I'm not doing that anymore. But basically, I would get an Uber and then I would do outreach on my computer. It was like a sales job, but outreach on my computer, set my appointments for the week. And then I would get an Uber. The Uber literally picked me up at my apartment. And then I would go to people's apartments, luxury apartments, like these beautiful, beautiful apartments that I would never, ever, ever, ever be in my little tiny East Village apartment. But it was like always so incredible to like see people's like huge closets that were the size of my whole apartment. Like it was crazy. So yes, I would go collect all of their things. Like rich people would like have me sit with their butler and go through their closet. Yeah. That's it sick. Was like wild. It was wild. I was seeing like rich New York. It was so, 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 so cool. And I'm so glad I got to experience it. Like if you're familiar, a Birkin bag is like, usually the normal ones are probably like 25,000, casually 25,000. Yeah. And people would like leave them with their doorman for me to take and like go take back to the office, have authenticated, and then sold on the Real Real website. Like,
oh my God.
Just leave them with their doorman for me. Like it was wild stuff. I was like, I went to the chief of design of like Ralph Lauren's like apartment. I went to like crazy, like these, and then I would look people up later, like one of these like finance ladies, I looked her up. She was like on CNN. Like they interviewed her about finance. Like they were just really like such cool people. So it was super inspiring. But like I said, that was not going to be sustainable for me. So I switched jobs and unfortunately it was for the worst. I feel terrible for anyone who's ever been in like a toxic job environment because it's not ideal. And I think there are a few red flags that we should talk about. I've like thought about making a TikTok about this multiple times, but just really quick, some tips on interviewing like in any career that you're in. But I think interviewing is really about finding the right fit for you as much as they're trying to find the right fit for them. It's not all about like, you need to win them to get the job, but you actually need them to win you to make you want to work there. And I learned this so hard at this job that I had. I went in, first off, like one of my final interviews, like I get your camera being broken, but like I'm interviewing for a job. Like the person who was interviewing me didn't even have their camera on. Like, and then I go in for a final interview and like, it's like a cold environment. It's almost like they're like wanting me to prove myself. And that is before I realized that, no, like I need to know that like I want to work for them as much as they want me to work for them. And then long story short, that did not last long. And like what happened with me happened with another girl and she ended up like, leaving right after me. And it was just like a lot of like the leadership and the people in the company, like it was just very unhealthy. And basically, I learned a lot from that. And if you are in your job search, a huge thing I have to share is like, just make sure, if anything, that it is the right fit for you. Stop trying to like win them. I know that you want that job. I know that you're like itching to get that first job. But seriously, now the position that I'm in, I like took the interview process very serious from my perspective of like talking and making sure that like, a huge question that I think is so important that you should ask in every interview is, what is your plan for me? How do you plan on training me like to be a success in your company? You know what I mean?
Yeah. Like, yeah, it's so good.
What is your reaction going to be when I ask questions? Because at that old job, they were like, yeah, we're an entrepreneurial learning environment. I had no production history. I had no idea. Like I had that, like what I was telling you about it when I was a senior, junior going into college, I had that experience, but they didn't trust me with anything. Like I was literally a high schooler with no credibility. Like I just took the ACT. So I didn't really have like any crazy like credibility. So basically they didn't want me to like ask questions. They expected me to know everything, like crazy things. So that's something that I really took away from it is like, if you're going to interview for a job, you need to make sure that like your leader wants you to learn, is like there for you to like get better, because like eventually you'll get to a spot that you're good at your job. I've been in my job for almost a year now and I can finally say that I do feel confident. Almost every day. Like every day I still have questions because there's always going to continue to be questions, but you're not going to learn how to do your job in 1 month and be good at it. Unless you've been doing it in a different capacity, it's probably not happening.
Yeah, absolutely. And everyone's going to have questions all the way throughout their career because you're going to bring a different perspective and your previous experiences into each day. And the things that are coming at you are going to be different each day. If you don't have questions, you are in absolute autopilot mode, absolute autopilot mode.
Exactly. Like continue to think and create. But yeah, that is like a huge thing that I took away from that. And I learned is basically you need to make sure that they want you as much as you want them. Because if it's not like that, then like, it's not going to be an ideal situation for you. So long story short, like I said, that did not last long.
Yeah. Wow.
And then I like left one day. It was like, this is not for me. Like I can't do it. And I found a temporary job within a week because I was not playing any games. I was actually working at a small boutique on the side because I was not making enough to live in New York working that job that I was just talking about. That was like absolutely mentally draining me. I was working at a boutique too, which was super cool. It's called Abode. I love the brand. If you're in New York and you can visit it, I would so go. The girl who made Abode, she like actually is like a friend now. She's incredible. But she graduated from her master's program and then started this boutique, and it's a lot of like vintage home decor actually.
Cool.
Super cool. But
and
so
relevant.
Yeah, I got to pick up some hours there that week. It was tax season. And then within a week, I found a temp job. And that's where I like really learned that like it's not all going to be like this, because that new job was incredible. Like they wanted my help. They wanted to teach me. And they actually offered me a full-time position. But as we're about to get into, I felt so ungrounded from that situation. I realized I was not doing myself any favor financially while being in New York. Like I know that it's like about the experience of being in New York, but I was really like just going out of control, spending money. Nice. And I was like draining my savings like crazy. And I was obviously paying rent by myself, buying all my, like I was supporting myself as an adult in New York on a very low salary. So basically all that to say is that situation scared me. I was interviewing for jobs and I decided that at this point in my life, I wanted to come home. I wanted to ground. But I did want to continue to grow my career and be able to do that. So then ultimately that's where I got the job that I am now. And yeah, it's kind of like full circle and
holy cow. Yeah. All right. So before we dive into the present a little bit, what did you love about New York? Like, what was it about New York that you liked? Cause you talk about it favorably, right? Like you say, like, it's about the experience. You talk about the boutique and how it was awesome. And you talk about the shops down in the garment section and the garment area and all of that. Like, you have a favorable opinion of the city itself. So the horrible job experience aside, and again, echoing myself, like, I'm sorry about that. That is tough. Yeah. And I love the advice that you give that when you're applying for something, you need it to be two ways, that you need them, that they need you, because there's going to be innate appreciation there. That's how it should be.
Yeah.
That's how it should be. So aside from that experience, you do speak favorably upon the city. What is it about the city that's so enamoring?
Basically, the best parts about New York to me is that everybody is there to grow. Like, I feel like you don't go to New York to just like sit in your apartment. You go there to experience. You go to go see new places, try new restaurants, go sit in the park, be a regular at your coffee shop, meet the people in your community. Like, it's just a really, like, there's so much to do. And you're never going to be bored there. And you walk outside and there's like a million things you could do. And I think that that's like what I love about it. It's just full of opportunity, ambitious people. And the energy is just so great. Like everybody is working towards some sort of goal. Like no one is there to just like be the same the next day. Everyone there is there to self-improve. And that's something that I am very for, is like growing as a person.
Absolutely.
Day in and day out, like doing everything, like that's like my goal when I wake up in the morning, is to like improve in some capacity to be better tomorrow.
Yeah, it's like, did you get better today?
And I think that a lot of people in New York really have that mindset. So I think the people in New York are great. I think that some people can think that they're like mean or something, but I don't think that they're mean. I think that they're focused. I'm going to be honest. I think they're focused. I don't think they're trying to be mean. I think that their mind is just a lot of other places. And if you're a tourist and you're in the way, like they're just not here for it because they're trying to get to their actual real life.
They're on a mission. Yeah.
So that's why I love New York. Like, it's just different.
Do you want to go back?
I don't know. I'm like indifferent. I do love the city so much, but I think there's a lot of things that not being in the city also bring up. Like I said, the financial aspect, I think it's really important to have that under control. And like, yes, I could potentially go back to the city when I understand how to budget money better, which literally, if you're working on that, as I am myself, I literally think that this is a game changer for you. Write down everything you spend money on. It sounds insane, but I literally write down, I have a huge calendar over here. I write down everything I spend money on each day. Like I spend $5 on coffee, write it down. And at the end of the month, if you wish to listen to The Financial Feminist, she mentions money dates with yourself. And then you sit down and you look at like what you've spent for the month. Like, what did you spend it on? Like, oh crap, I spent $1,000 on clothes this month. That can't happen. And you'll realize the trends with yourself and like where you can improve. But saying all that to say, yes, like financially, if I felt more comfortable, yes, that would be something that I would entertain. But I think there's like other things that I want to do that I wouldn't necessarily do. Like, I do think it would be so cool to start a yoga studio one day. If I start a yoga studio or a coffee shop or like anything like that one day, the likelihoods of me being able to do that in New York are very slim. The likelihoods of me being able to do that in a different state, probably Ohio, I'm guessing, are a lot more likely. So like, I'm very like back and forth, because also another thing you have to think about is traveling is so important to me. Like, I'm taking this like week and a half trip to California in the April, and I'm so thrilled about it.
Awesome.
But like, if I was living in New York, I don't think that that would be a thing that would be even like a thought. Like, I don't think it would be something that I actually do. So things like that. But yeah. So
yeah,
I love the city and I think it's great. And I think that everyone should experience it at some point in their life. If they want to, if that's something they're interested in. But yeah, me personally, I don't know that I will actually ever end up going back to stay, just because I do have like other goals. I obviously really like the job that I do have right now. It's a very fun space that I don't think that the space that I work in personally is a very fun space that not every brand even has. So yeah, right now I am still learning so much, you know, and it's just like kind of figuring out exactly what I want that future to hold. And who's to say in 5 years from now, I don't decide actually, yeah, I want to go back to New York.
You know? Yeah. You had the experience, so you've got it. At least you could check it off the bucket list at the minimum.
Yeah.
You might not be totally fulfilled with it, but you could check it off the bucket list at the minimum. I want to take you back real quick to the financing. I actually do the same thing you do. I check every dollar that I spend. Mm-hmm. I have a nice spreadsheet on my phone, pull it up every time you go to Chipotle, every time you, you know, tip somebody, you give them $2, whatever it is for your cup of coffee, you put it on there.
It really hurts.
The effort of having to like, it sounds ridiculous, but the effort of having to track every dollar is a lot. So every time you're spending something, you're like, oh man, I gotta go pull out my phone, put it in the spreadsheet. And then the same thing at the end of the number, at the end of the month, right? I do the same thing with money in too. So like, you can see the nice difference of what you've earned and what you've spent and that cash flow. And that analysis is really truth telling, because sometimes numbers don't lie, and most of the time numbers don't lie. And in this case, they really don't. So I echo the sentiments that if you're trying to get your money on or get a hold of your money, that's a great way to do it.
Yeah, 100%. And also high yield savings. If you don't listen to finance podcast, get a high yield savings. I'm telling you, literally just like from my paychecks going in, I make $8 every month for the money I'm going to spend on my rent. Like, seriously, check out the Citibank high yield savings. It was a game changer. I learned all of my finance stuff, though, honestly, from either Money with Katie or Financial Feminist. So if you
need high yield savings, Citibank, got it. It's good to know.
They teach me so much. I never knew what a high yield saving was like.
Right. Yeah, yeah. So you're working at Express now at the outlet in Columbus. Life's good. You're feeling good.
Great.
Yeah.
It's great.
I'm excited for you. You talk about this future of maybe a coffee shop, maybe a yoga studio. Touch on that really briefly.
Yeah. So I just feel like I really love where I am right now in my job, of course, and I can see myself doing this for quite a while longer, but I do think that it would be. So basically, I go to this super cool yoga studio. It's here in Grandview. It's called Rewild, if you ever are in the area and want to try it, but it's not your traditional yoga. And I think it has actually changed my outlook on life. I'm not even kidding you. Like, I feel like I always went to yoga classes before and I would just be like not intentional at all. Like, I would just go and I would go through the motions and I wouldn't know why I was doing what I was doing. And this yoga studio has like broke it down for me. So everything that I want to do in my life, like there's a purpose behind it. And yoga really reminded me, like there's literally a purpose in everything you do. So like, you think every time you do a down dog, it's the same thing. That can get really, really boring. And I want to say, I did not make what I'm about to say up. My yoga teacher said this, but she asked me the question, like, what makes you bored? And what makes you bored, Joe? What makes you bored?
monotony. Yeah. Monotony makes me bored, or I like being challenged, right? I think like they're, well, again, as a teacher, I recognize that we're all just big kids, and the kids that have behavior problems probably aren't challenged. Mm-hmm. Never wonder why the kids that always are getting in trouble, or when you were in grade school, seemingly were the ones that tended mm-hmm. to also do really well on all the tests and quizzes and mm-hmm. things, is because they knew it, they weren't challenged. And right. I think that's true of all of us, right? Like, we want to be challenged. We want to mm-hmm. grow, because there's innate longing to be better. I would plug in the spirituality thing right there and talk about like this wanting to know God, but that's for a whole nother story. Yeah. But regardless, there's this innate longing to be better. And when we're drifting from that, we're bored.
Yeah, exactly. So
what makes you bored, Manny?
Basically it. Like, what yeah. makes you bored is doing the same thing over and over and over again. So yoga really is doing the same thing over and over and over again. Like, every day, like, we start with like breath, and then we ground, and then we do this. And 9 times out of 10, not 9 times out of 10, because there are like different ways that you can ebb and flow the flow, you're doing mm-hmm. something very similar. But what can change is how you perceive the pose, and how you're in it, and how you are present in it, and like the push and the pull, and like, what are you doing different to make it different? And so I have taken so much from this yoga studio. I've went to like 34 classes. It tells me, it gives me like a running count, okay. but I haven't been there that long. But the amount of life perspective that I have like taken away from it, and like every day, like, I want to go there. Like, if I can't fit it in my day, I'm like, dang, like, this sucks. Like, I want to yeah. go. Like, it, like, it's like a very like spiritual, like, it really gets my mind right, literally. So basically, like I said, I went to a lot of yoga before this, and a lot of yoga hasn't given me this perspective, but like, this is, and maybe it's because I kept going back, but there's other studios that I kept going back to. But if like I can work this number on somebody else, like one day that this has worked on me, that it's like almost like you can escape from all those stresses that you were feeling in your life, and like learn how to be present, I think it eventually helps you cope with everything else in your life. And yeah, so that's like basically kind of why I'm super interested into that whole
thing. Yeah, how awesome.
Because I think that it's like one of those things that like, what's a fulfilling life? And I think living a fulfilling life is like living outside of just yourself. You know what I mean? It's not like totally. Just thinking about yourself all the time. But
yeah, it's really awesome. I mean, it shows where your heart is with things. And like when I talk about this podcast, I always say, you know, it's the mindsets mm-hmm. that we share, and the mindsets that we bring to what we do, and how we learn from what we've done, that is what's interesting. Mm-hmm. So you come with this mindset about the coffee shops, about the yoga studio, that you want it to be revealing for people, that don't be bored, that there is intentionality in what we do, that there is purpose, and that there's more than just doing these boring things, and that we can bring our best selves each day by getting outside of those boring things and having the recognition that, you know, there's intention in our actions.
Yeah.
That's killer.
Yeah.
You could start a little like revolution with that. And you also had mentioned your obsession of podcasts. That is like podcast material right there.
Yeah. Oh, great. I'm like planning to do, so they're starting a teacher training in April. That's like the studio I go to. But I'm just, it's a big commitment. Like, it's like every weekend, like all day, because it's like you do 200 hours, and I'm just like not ready for the commitment yet.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I like decided whenever they release the dates for the next one, I'm like 100% in, like there's no option. Cool. Like, I'm saving the money for it right now. Like, it's happening. Because like, even if I didn't want to be a teacher or something, it's like just really cool to know about this on a deeper level, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you love it. So class. Why not?
Yeah. Yeah. But that's a huge thing.
So I have a couple questions that are standard, and they come at the end, and they tend to wrap everything up really nicely. And you've mentioned all of your endeavors, which are wonderful. You've talked us through your passion. You've talked us now through your yoga, your moves, everything. Small town, small man, he goes to New York. I mean, this is a great story right off the rip. When you look back at all of these memories, and when you look back at what you've gotten to do through fashion school at Kent, through your internships in high school in New York and Italy, boom, boom, boom. Do you have any regrets?
I really don't, because of the fact that I feel like I tried to do it all. I really did try to do it all. Like, I think I've learned as I've gotten older, and this isn't a regret, but like, I think sometimes I fill my time with too many things instead of just like waiting and seeing what life will like give to me, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
I like react too much instead of like just like waiting and being
okay.
And yeah, I think that that's like with the whole projects going overboard, like not sleeping, there is like a balance there. So I think take everything serious, but also don't take it too serious, because at the end of the day, if it's not going to matter 10 years from now, it's fine. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, of course.
Like, get it done, but also experience what you want to experience, like live your life essentially.
Yeah. So is that your piece of advice, or kind of your, would those be your closing remarks? Like, live your life and don't take some of the process work too seriously, maybe?
It would be live with intention for sure.
Live with intention. Okay.
Live with intention. Like, don't get too wrapped up in the super small things, because that's something that I'm like becoming very aware that I've always done. It's like, be very wrapped up in the details. But like, at the end of the day, like, the little things do matter. Like, they very much do. Like, the little details do. But I also think that like living an intentional life and like fulfilling it is like really important.
Yeah. I feel like when you truly get that down, then you'll get the big scale intentionality and also the details, right? Because you got to cross your T's, dot your I's kind of thing. I mean, you know better than anybody in that industry that you need to make sure that all those T's are crossed and I's are dotted.
The details very much matter, but also like if it can wait until tomorrow, it can wait until tomorrow, you know?
Like, okay. Yeah. I like it. There's moderation in everything. And we talked about that a little bit before we even came on here, but there's moderation in everything, and that's important.
Mm-hmm. 100%.
Matney, one of my biggest focuses, I guess, more than anything, is this idea of gratitude, this life, living life in a grateful way, and just making sure that what's on our hearts is out of gratitude, out of appreciation for that which is around us and kind of where we are. Mm-hmm. I feel like in general, people who are grateful are happier people. Mm-hmm. I just think that to be grateful is to live life in a joyful state, and bare bones, I think it's the best way to be.
Mm-hmm.
With that in mind, do you have anything you want to say about gratitude? How does gratitude affect your life? What influences it play in who you are?
I think when I'm negative, I remember that I need to have gratitude. Like, I will find myself having negative talk, and your feelings are valid. Whatever you're feeling, like, it's very valid. But what I would challenge is like, when you're feeling one of those negative thoughts, like, can that be backfilled with gratitude? Or like, wait, I'm lucky. Like, I get to do that, instead of like, mm-hmm. oh my gosh, like being like negative, like, this is so stressful. Like, I have had a stressful week, but instead of being stressful, like, I'm grateful that I get to do this job that like is as cool as it is, even though I might be stressed. You know what sure. I mean? Like,
yeah.
I'm grateful that I like get to feel this sense of like almost pressure because I'm in this position and like getting to work on this. So I think gratitude in my life is definitely working in that way, is like taking that negative thought and fixing it with gratitude and being like, yeah.
That's awesome. It's really tangible. And I think it's such a good reminder to us, because how easily we can get wrapped up in like the negativity and the world around us, man. People like to be negative because it's so easy. You don't have to be creative to be negative.
Right?
Like, it takes no creativity to be negative, or to say something bad, or to rip someone down, or rip yourself down. Mm-hmm. There's no creativity in that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Awesome. That's a great reminder for all of us.
Yeah.
Matney, this has been incredible. I love hearing about your adventures. I'm excited for episode 2 when you come on here, and I'm excited to come on your podcast when you get it fired up with your
yeah.
yoga studio and coffee bar and all these great things. And so, as long as you're good with it, I will throw your personal Instagram into the description, have people contact you if they feel like shooting the breeze about whatever. Pick uh-huh. your brain about things. Yeah. So Matney's Instagram will be in the description below, along with the Capsule Collective. And the capsulecollective.com will be live and rolling by the time that this podcast is let out to all of you. So if you're hearing this now, check out the capsulecollective.com. see what Matney has going on, head to her personal Instagram, give her a follow, reach out with any comments, questions, concerns, ideas, or just saying hello that you want to share her way. I am your host, Joe Clark. This has been another marvelous episode. Matney Yates, thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. This is your host, Joe Clark, signing off one more time. If you haven't yet hit that subscribe button, you're waiting too long. This is another episode of Chats with Clark.